From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of November 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Dave Dickey will be here to talk about the agricultural news for the day, and I'll review a story we heard earlier in the week with Gary Schnitke about the price of corn and the price of soybeans and the acreage battle. And then as we close out our program, we'll talk with Jim Angel, state climatologist for the Illinois State Water Survey, located right here in Urbana-Champaign. And it all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this Friday afternoon, futures in Chicago finished the December wheat 15 cents higher at 728 and three quarters, the March at 769, up 15 and a half. May futures there at $7.94, up 18 and three quarters, and July, the harvest month, at $8.25, up 15 and a half a bushel. The hard red Kansas City at 786 finished 17 cents higher in the lead option. December corn futures, $5.87 and three quarters, down 2 1/4 today. The March at 601 and three quarters, 2 lower. The May at 608 and a half, down a penny and a half. And July contract, $6.11 and three quarters, down 1 3/4. Next year's December futures up 3/4 at $5.55 and 1/4. November beans for the day, 1273 and a half, up 8 3/4. January at 1284, 9 1/4 higher. March soybeans, 1292 and a half, up 9 1/2. And the July futures at $13.5, up 19 3/4. November beans for next year at $12.22. up 6 1/2 cents. Bean meal up, or rather down 20 cents at $348. And bean oil at $52.22, up 97. Mercantile exchange numbers, December live cattle, $97.55, down a dime. February's there at $101.80, 32 and a half higher. November feeders at $110.60, up 47 and a half cents. And the January futures, a settlement price at $110.77 and a half, 37 and a half cents higher. December lean hogs, $66.95 today, down 67 and a half cents for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures on the afternoon, it's $86.88 a barrel, up 39 cents in the lead option. Ethanol at 234 and 6 tenths, a tenth of a cent lower. Natural gas at 393 and 2 tenths, down, or rather up 7 and 6 tenths. And December heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $2.38 and a half cents, up a penny and a tenth. Gold futures settled at $1,397.30, up $14.60. The Dow at 11,406, just about 407, down about 28 points at this hour. And the U.S. dollar at 76.55 is up 0.67. The CRB index at 313.57 is 1.27 higher on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service on a Friday afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, they say, in the Urbana-Champaign area. A high near 42 degrees, north-northwest winds at just about 17 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 23. Northwest winds between 7 and 13. They'll gust all the way to 17. Saturday should show us some sunny skies. A high of 49 degrees, west-southwest winds between 6 and 8. Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of 31, south-southwest winds between 6 and 9. Sunday, it'll be sunny, a high near 59 degrees, southwest winds between 10 and 16, gusting to 22. And Sunday night, mostly clear, a low of 37 degrees. The extended forecast says on Monday, it'll be sunny, the high of 63. Monday night, clear, a low of 41. Tuesday, sunny, and a high of 65 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 47. And then Wednesday, it'll be mostly sunny, a high near 66. And when we get to Thursday, which is Veterans Day, partly sunny, a high of 63 on Thursday of next week. We'll have a more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, joins us. Good afternoon to you. Mike, let's talk a little bit about this marketplace and what it looks like all week long for you. We watched the wheat, but really it's the soybeans that led things higher this week.
Yeah, it really was that way. It seemed like the corn and soybeans did most of the heavy lifting most of this week, Todd. I think the Federal Reserve, the election, the sharply lower dollar as a result of both of those really helped the row crops a lot. I think early in the week, too, the trade was talking a lot more about the USDA report upcoming, also talking a lot about the new crop acres, and it just seemed like the trade was much more friendly, the row crops, because of the way the technicals looked early in the week, and wheat was certainly a late bloomer, but it came on strong here today.
I kind of like with the one July contract. This is for the old crop, the beans that are in the bin now, $13.50. What do you think about that?
That is a nice thing to see, isn't it? And you know what the nicest thing about it is that we continue to see that alongside of 60 million bushel weekly export sales. And, you know, that was on the low end of trade estimates on Thursday's numbers for weekly exports. But the beans just keep cranking it out in terms of demand, and even with the prices going higher, it's certainly a good thing to see. And we've seen the products hold together really nicely, too. The Malaysian palm oil and the Chinese vegetable oil markets were both up at 24 and 26-month highs in the overnight markets. I'm sure part of that had to do with the Federal Reserve, but we also have some very, very strong demand in those vegetable oil markets as well, with China, I think, coming in earlier in the week and buying 200,000 tons of Argentine vegetable oil. So that was really nice to see. The products are certainly supporting, and we saw that with bean oil back up above 50 cents now.
You think we can follow through with these gains next week?
I think it's going to be tough. I kind of feel like that with the early week trade and the break above in the upside and the fact that the row crops were able to price in a bullish Federal Reserve number and go higher after the Federal Reserve number, that I am putting the number at, we probably need to be below 800 million bushels in terms of corn carryover to justify going above this 590 level, Todd. I'd say probably the trade would need to see something along the lines of a 225 to 230 million bushel bean carryover to justify this 1275 level in November beans, because the average trade guesses are right in those numbers that I gave you. It's interesting, though, the lowest trade guess for corn is 608 million. The lowest trade guess for beans is 150 million. I don't think anything close to that has been priced in yet, but we're probably right in the middle of that range going into the report.
Okay, you gave me a number, at 590 in D's corn and a carryout of 800 million, but a little birdie called me, Mike, and said he was listening to you this morning. You have to be careful on our shows because you never know. And did you suggest this morning, Michael, that if wheat moved, that corn could have a six in front of it?
Yes. In fact, we were talking about I had a conversation with a contact in Chicago, and he said, I'm really excited about the corn. I think we're going to see a six in front of the corn by the close. And I said, well, if you're right about that, then the wheat's going to have to pull it higher and go higher. And I think that general tendency was absolutely right, because the wheat did turn it on. Corn wasn't able to get up into that $6 level. We got up to 5.91 and three quarters, but we weren't able to cross through the $6 barrier. But the general mindset is that I have, Todd, that we continue to see, I think, pretty much play out as the wheat needs to lead the corn higher because the wheat's got the weather. And whereas the corn export demand has slipped some, and some would say, well, that's because the end users and the global commercials are waiting for Tuesday's report, and then they'll come in hard and hit the corn demand. We have not seen the wheat demand slip nearly as much as the prices have gone higher. So I think wheat's still in the driver's seat. But at point about the corn, that's going to be just as important to me as the USDA supply and demand numbers, to see if the global end users really start to turn on the demand after they see what USDA gives us on Tuesday.
Yeah, when you look at wheat, what are you going to look for in the WASDE figures, in the reports that are coming out? On, is there anything that really strikes you that we need to watch in this report? At this time of year, I suspect not, but there might be something there that is worthwhile checking up on?
Yes, wonderful question, because I was absolutely struck by the trade thinking that the global ending stocks were going to stay pretty much the same at the 175 to 176 million metric ton number that we got from USDA or WASDE on October. I really feel like that if we're going to see a surprise in the marketplace, it's going to be that the world numbers actually go down even more, because some of these European crops, the final tabulations are in, and it looks like, based upon the USDA numbers versus some of the private forecasts that we've gotten out of the former Soviet Union and the Ukraine, we should see the USDA drop a little bit more. So to see a no change in the wheat ending stocks globally, I think could actually be a little bit bearish next week if we get that.
No, you were listening to what Jerry Bangy had to say, weren't you, when you were at the Data Users Group?
I was.
And still swayed by that.
I'm not going to let go of that. You bet. You very rarely get those kind of pearls from the government.
Okay. So, all right. Let's go back and take a look at this in a broader perspective. So, there's some worry about the corn in the export market. But when you look at freight, and I was reading something online from Glencore, they were talking about the number of available Panamaxes and ocean-going freight and where they were located, and that prior to 2008, there had been apparently a big build, that those ships are just being delivered, and there are a lot of them, and they're all located in the Atlantic and just waiting to be loaded. And apparently down near the Gulf. So I'm wondering why the export market wouldn't—that ought to drive freight prices really low, and why the export market wouldn't be taking the crop.
Well, and I think that goes back to some of the end users that I talk to, some good contacts around the world that I have would suggest to me that they want to see if USDA pulls back a little bit some of the bullish horns in the November report here coming up, and whether they can't get a break to the downside to buy it, that they've booked the freight— the freight is locked in, but they haven't quite set the physical price, and everything they've been buying is hand-to-mouth ahead of this report. And that's where, is that really what's going on, or is that just something that I'm picking up? I'm not saying that they're telling me a falsehood, but it's something that the rubber will hit the road after the report, because if USDA comes through with more yield declines in corn, I would think that the global end users would really be not only jumping on the corn, but also be jumping on the wheat, because we heard from the United Kingdom, we also heard from France today that their stocks, or this week, that their stocks are at minimal levels right now for this time of the year. So here again, the commercials can play for a while, but at this stage, with the U.S. corn locked up, with the U.S. wheat in a vulnerable situation, and USDA kind of the last resort to give you a price break if you're a buyer, you're probably going to have to do something at the end of next week.
Mike, thanks so much for joining us
today. Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Today, we have a special extended edition for the Closing Market Report, so stay with us if you can on our home radio station, because after we get done with the weather segment, we'll talk with Darrell Good, an unedited conversation I had with him earlier in the week about his weekly outlook posted to the Farm Doc website. That all coming up later in this program, the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Now here's Dave with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, with Senator Blanche Lincoln's election loss in Arkansas on Tuesday, focus turns to just which Democratic senator will now take over as chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee. Early projections are that chairmanship is likely to fall to Senator Debbie Stabenow, a Democrat from Michigan. But there is growing talk that Senator Kent Conrad, a Democrat from North Dakota, may want the job. Conrad outranks Stabenow in seniority and can therefore take the spot. Conrad's staff released a statement on Wednesday. The senator has not yet made up his mind. Conrad already is chairman of the Senate Budget Committee. Stabenow, for her part, definitely wants to be agriculture chairman. Two ethanol industry advocacy groups are seeking a preliminary injunction to stop California's low-carbon fuel standard from taking effect on January 1st. Court documents filed in the case say that Midwest ethanol producers could lose hundreds of millions of dollars and the ability to obtain credit when California's low-carbon fuel standard takes effect. The California Air Resource Board, a governor-approved board, drafted and adopted the LCFS in April of 2009. Some commodity traders are saying today that a commodities buying spree spurred by U.S. quantitative easing has raised alarm of an inflationary bubble reminiscent of 2008 when oil and other industrial raw materials struck all-time highs before the crash. U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke has argued the likelihood of deflation is greater than that of inflation. Critics say QE2, the second round of quantitative easing, could lead to higher inflation and low interest rates would create asset bubbles as investors sought returns by piling into riskier asset classes. Monsanto executives say the company could start field testing of genetically engineered wheat within 1 to 2 years, but remains cautious about future commercialization. Currently, there is no biotech wheat on the market because of consumer and food industry opposition, but Monsanto sees attitudes changing. Monsanto's wheat research is still in the early phase one of discovery work, which translates to testing various genes to see what might work. Monsanto abandoned biotech wheat in May of 2004 amid broad opposition from buyers of U.S. wheat and from U.S. wheat growers who feared losing sales. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. That second program is our weekly look at what happened in the world of agriculture. We'll put it up on the website at about 6 o'clock this evening. We record at 4:30 on Friday afternoons. You can find it at WILLAG.org. Commodity Week, it's our flagship program. Now up next, you know, recent commodity price increases have triggered interest in how many acres of corn and soybeans will be planted next year. The agricultural economists at the University of Illinois, of course, have run the crop budgets and come up with some current projections. Farmers' acreage decisions will be influenced in part, say the agricultural economist at the University of Illinois, by the relative projected profitability of alternative crops. Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnicki compiled some numbers for the traditional corn-soybean rotation. Across the state of Illinois, it shows undoubtedly that at the moment it would definitely be more profitable for a farmer to plant corn instead of soybean next year.
What we've found is that in all areas, all regions of the state, corn was more profitable than soybeans. And just to pick on the central Illinois region, high productivity land, we found that corn was more profitable than soybeans by, or is projected to be more profitable by $132 per acre, which is considerably above the average for the past 10 years.
The $132 per acre projection is based on corn yields at trend levels, 195 for corn and 56 bushels for soybeans. That's in central Illinois high productivity land. Commodity price quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange at $4.80 for corn and $11 for soybeans. And non-land cost of $482 an acre for corn and $294 per acre for soybeans. That's the current projection. But as time passes and prices in Chicago change, so will the projections. Here's an estimate of where the break-even point might be for one crop versus the other using a cash price.
At $5 corn in northern and central Illinois, you need soybean prices above $13.20. And in southern Illinois, it's $12.85. So soybeans would still have to be at $5 in the $13 per bushel range.
Well, one final note, Gary Schnitke reports all the 2011 projected returns exceed most of the yearly corn minus soybean returns for the previous decade. For example, the Central Illinois region with high productivity farmland has a 2011 projected return that is higher than all returns from 2000 through 2010. The next highest corn minus soybean return was $118 per acre in favor of corn. That occurred in 2008. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us now to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Well, farmers probably putting anhydrous on, maybe even finished up with that, and probably looking at some bookwork, I suppose. What are they asking you?
When is Free DP going to start?
Do you have an answer for them?
I need to get some trains loaded out, get some bins cored, and make a little room first. If I opened it up now, I'd be closed in about a day.
Okay, what are your let's talk about bids and basis and where you're at this point, and whether you've followed this market up, whether your basis for both corn and beans has stayed pretty tight along with it.
The corn basis has stayed basically unchanged over the last week, following things up. Soybeans, we switched from the no to the Jan and actually gained about 3 cents on the rollover. So the market is hanging in there. We haven't gotten really to the point yet where we're seeing the basis back off in the face of the rally, and that's kind of encouraging in itself.
Well, what do you think fundamentally the things are that are around still that can drive this price higher? Basis is high. End users, I suppose, are still looking for corn and soybean.
They're still looking for corn and soybeans. Beans, I think the export is a driving force there. Crush margins aren't as good as they've been for the last year or so. So the processor is kind of a reluctant follower on the basis going higher. They'd need to see better crush margins before they would really get cranked up in things. Corn, we're seeing people want to put coverage on in here. Ethanol, you can still profitably crush nearby. You can't go out into the deferreds. We really haven't seen much for rationing. Probably the biggest concern on the corn side is that our weekly shipments are not where they need to be, but the sales pace is good. We actually need to get it bought and on a boat.
So sale pace is good, but the exports actually, the shipments
yep,
are
the actual
not really
loadings. The Monday
well.
The Monday numbers keep lagging, and the Thursday numbers generally stay pretty decent.
What's your expectations for your cash basis as you go into the next week?
I think we see the basis continue to hang in there, maybe flatten out or improve a little bit, take carry out of the market, unless the board really runs. If the board takes off and wants to run, then you will see the basis take a step back.
Your bids for the day are?
We are at 573 on nearby corn and 1257 on soybeans.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Mike Carey and Morris at 815-941-2189. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's Donut Day. The arrival of donuts in the U.S. has a disputed history. One theory has Hanson Gregory inventing the ring-shaped donut in 1847 while traveling aboard a lime trading ship. Another theory points at archaeological evidence that donuts were prepared by prehistoric Native Americans in the Southwest. On this day in agricultural history in 1854, Paul Sabatier was born. A French organic chemist, he researched catalytic organic synthesis. The margarine and methanol industries grew out of his research. In 1893, Raymond Loewy was born, an American design engineer. He designed the Coca-Cola bottle, the 1934 Sears Cold Spot refrigerator, and toothbrushes, among other items. But he is perhaps best known as the father of streamlining for his work on a number of automobiles, including the 1947 Studebaker Starlight Coupe. In 1963, Viking ruins were found by archaeologists in Newfoundland, dating back to around the year 1000. Most historians believe that Leif Erikson, second son of Eric the Red, was the first European to reach the New World, some 500 years before Columbus. And in 2000, David Ross Brower died. Brower was the founder of many agricultural organizations, including the Friends of the Earth and Earth Island Institute. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon. Jim Angel of the Illinois State Water Survey serves as the state climatologist is with us this afternoon to take a look at the weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And we'll take a look first back at this past week. As a climatologist, anything unique about it?
Yeah, it was cool and dry. We were running about 4 to 8 degrees below normal for this week, but lots of sunshine there, and but very dry conditions. That's kind of continuation of what we've seen even back into October there. October was a very dry month, only about half of our normal October precipitation. So we've been very quiet and very dry.
October was a dry month. Was it normal than usual, too?
Yeah, the temperatures were actually a little bit above normal. We were about at 1.5 degrees above normal. But precipitation-wise, the northern part of the state was close to normal on the rainfall. But the farther south you went, the drier it got. And far southern Illinois has, of course, been struggling with drought conditions down there. So they could use some rain down there.
And that's typical not in only in the far southern part of Illinois, but in Indiana, Ohio, part of the Ohio Valley River system.
Exactly. Yeah, all that Ohio River Valley system is in some degree of dryness at this stage.
What do you see when you look out ahead? Do we have any relief for them and rainfall for us?
Well, you know, if you look at the next couple of days, we've got a system coming through early next week. We might see some rain showers by Wednesday. The next really big system looks like it might be closer to next weekend before that rolls through. So it doesn't look real wet in the short term, but you look at a little farther, it looks like we might get in some wet conditions in that 6 to 10 day range.
Did you happen to take a look at there are some latest forecasts, longer range forecast that came out from the National Weather Service maybe yesterday? It might have been last week. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think they came out with some new ones last week for November. They have Illinois and their increased chance of above normal temperatures with near normal precipitation for the state. And then for their November through January forecast, it's an increased chance of above normal temperature and near normal precipitation.
All right. Anything else that we need to add before I let you go? And I don't know, did you look at that 4-inch soil temperature?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, the 4-inch soil temperatures, the 10 a.m. bare ground soil temperatures run from about 42 degrees up in the northwestern part of the state down to 50 degrees in southern Illinois. Here in east central Illinois, they're running about 44 to 48 degrees.
Any reason to think that they'll come back up above 50?
Well, they might. There's going to be a little bit of warming and some sunshine early next week, so there might be sometimes, especially in the southern part of the listening area, or it might warm up enough. But
All right. Well, we appreciate you taking the time with us today.
You're welcome.
That's Jim Angel. He's with the Illinois State Water Survey. He or his compadre there out on the south part of campus at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Join us each and every Friday to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. You have been listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. If you can, stay with us, because in a moment I'll talk with agricultural economist Darrell Good about his weekly outlook written and placed up on the Farm Doc website on Monday of this week.